Good day to you. God bless you. Say, welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour, the great book of Isaiah, Yahweh's Salvation. What a fantastic book it is. Our Father is beginning to show his credentials in relationship to man's. Actually, there is no comparison. And here, 137 years before the fact, he tells, I'm going to send a Gentile. I'm going to name him. I'm going to name him Cyrus. And he's going to give the command to rebuild Jerusalem. And when you read Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that's exactly what you read. But then when he knows he's sending Cyrus to destroy Babylon, confusion. This is a type, of course, and he says, Bel, get down, Nebo, get down, and Nebo being the prime of Nebuchadnezzar's name, it means the god of learning, but they learned the hard way. And he said, your animals are just tied down hauling your junk idols. But he said, my people, I protect them from the womb until they're gray-headed. I carry them. They don't have to worry about carrying something else, an idol or something. I carry them. And that's why it's so wonderful to serve God. That's why it's so precious to be anointed by our Heavenly Father. That is to say, to be one of His children. And He takes care of the heavy stuff for you. It just happens. And that's His promise. And just like he said back in the 43rd chapter, verse 26, I believe it was, hey, remind me of the promises I've made you and let's talk about it. So that's what you want to do. Our Father likes to carry you. And here he says the Babylonians, those people of confusion, weight themselves down with the traditions of man and false teaching till they can't cut it. Okay. So having chapter 46, let's pick it up with that thought in mind. Verse 5, a word of wisdom from our Father, and verse 5 reads, to whom will you liken me, God speaking here, and make me equal, and compare me that we may be like? In other words, you tell me one entity. There isn't. Okay. There's only one Heavenly Father. He's it. Verse 6, they lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and he maketh it a god. Lowercase, okay? They fall down, yea, they worship. They make the thing out of things I have created and then fall down and worship it. And you know something? Men's traditions are just as bad today. When you worship traditions of men in that way, that it robs you away from God's carrying you, His protection, His blessings, you're in a heap of hurt, friend. But that's what man will do. Verse 7, they bear him upon the shoulder, they carry him. Where I carry you from the womb, they have to pack this thing around after they make it. And set him in his place. They set him in his place because he's not going anywhere. He can't walk. And he standeth. It has to. After they nail him there, can't move. From his place shall he not remove. Why he can't? It's a dumb statue. Dumb idol. Yea, one shall cry unto him. They're going to just pray out, oh God, help me. Yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. In other words, he's wasting his time. That's like praying to a stick, okay, and expecting a stick to be your God. A stick of gold, a stick of silver, something hammered out by man, oh, but it's so pretty. It can't help you. It's not our Father. It's only a material that our Father created. Nothing compares to our Father. You're wasting your time. Anytime you try to find a different way than simply to love Him. Verse 8, remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O you transgressors. In other words, try to use a little bit of common sense as men should. Just stop and think for a moment. Remember the past. Remember what all I've done. You go all the way back to the time of Moses when he parted the Red Sea, when he protected them from Pharaoh, when he fed them in the wilderness. Remember back is what he's saying. He expects, stop wavering around and being confused with men's traditions and listen to me. That's what our Father is saying. A dumb idol can't move, you got to haul it, so it sure can't help you. Verse 9, remember the former things of old. Think back. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Two times for emphasis. I tell you before the fact of what's going to happen, and it always comes to pass exactly that way. In other words, what he's saying here, we're 137 years before Cyrus. And Cyrus, God will even name, and he's not even an Israelite. He's a Gentile. And he will be one of the persons, of the very few, that God himself will surname before he's ever born. And what God is saying here, this is the way he's going to destroy Babylon, is with somebody that's going to be born 137 years later. He's, watch me. It's going to come to pass exactly that way. It did. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning. I can do that, he says. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. I can do that. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. In other words, you can take my word and let it be your data, because that's exactly when you deliberate and when you take my counsel, my advice, that's exactly how it's going to happen. That's why we see the great book of Revelation come to pass before our very eyes in this generation, the generation of the fig tree. Our Father spoke it. He said it. It needs no explanation. What he says, that's it. Period. And our Father means everything he says. Think back to the ancient times. It has always happened that way. There's nothing new under the sun. And this Cyrus is only a type of Messiah to come, the Savior. And letting you know, God, if he must, if he can't find an Israelite, he'll use whomever he chooses. And in this case, he chose the Gentile, Cyrus, to deliver Israel and to destroy, to free them from this Babylon. Verse 11, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. That ravenous bird, of course, was Cyrus. And not even born at this time. It comes from the east, and that's exactly where he came from. And boy, did he take in Babylon. I mean, he freed our people and furnished the finances to rebuild the wall and Jerusalem. A Gentile. God purposed it. God spoke it. God surnamed him. You know, this is kind of a miracle when you put all the facts together. Excuse me. That's to say, all the data. Our God's purpose in telling us exactly how this was going to come to pass. And boy, did it ever come to pass exactly that way. Our Father's in control. And when he's in control, hey, there's no guesswork. Verse 12, hearken unto me, listen to me, you stout-hearted that are far from righteousness, you that are so steeped in idol worship that you don't even have ears to hear. In other words, I'm inviting you to pay attention. This is the worst of the worst, if we want to say that. 13, I bring near my righteousness, I'm offering it. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. It's there. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. Because of it is my favorite place, because Zion is. Then I'm going to have my salvation there for whomsoever will. And so he did. That has come to pass. The price has been paid. And so it is. Our Heavenly Father so loves his children. Our Heavenly Father, when he speaks, you can absorb it. You can listen. You know why? Because that's exactly how it's going down. So here now we maybe get a little bit of a sign as we continue on here of a destiny. And what happens to old Sister Babylon? You could almost take a chapter out of the book of Revelation from this 47th chapter. Chapter 47, verse 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, and there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans. For thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Your harlotry, your deception, the great harlot of the great book of Revelation. And there's no throne for you to sit on. Sit on the ground. Boy, she wasn't accustomed to that. And what a coming down. But she's going to fall. Okay. Why? Because God has spoken it. Verse 2. Take the millstone. Hey, that's slave work, okay? Get off the throne and you're going to do some slave work here. And grind meal. Uncover thy locks and make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. That means you get rid of your false religions. Stop harlotting around. Verse 3. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. In other words, God is not a respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if you're the king or if you're a mill hand. If you're part of Babylon, you're going to get the same treatment. He's not a respecter of persons. If you transgress, it's the same for one as it is for all. And this is when our Father is fed up with it. This is when it goes down. As I said, you can read a lot of old chapter 18 where she would say, I sit a queen and I'm no widow. That's when God tells her, you just get off of that throne and get in the dirt. Verse 4. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. In other words, there's that kinsman redeemer again, and it is he that speaks. It is he that is in charge, he that is in control. Verse 5, sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms, the Mistress. No more. Not going to happen. And old Cyrus, when he came, it was exactly that way. He put Babylon out of business and Medo-Persia took over. And things were a lot better. Cyrus would follow God's command. And you know something? Cyrus knew it. Again, if you read Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Cyrus declares that it is at God's hand that he rebuilds Jerusalem. God spoke it. God promised it. It came to pass exactly that way. And down went the old harlot. Just the same as in these end times, she's got a great fall coming. Her little prince, the false Christ, will reign on that throne with her for a while. Oh, what a sight they shall cut. How many people will be deceived by them? And how many people will whore after him? The falseness. And that's what this is really all about. They will still go to the ground. They will still go in the abyss. There will still be the pit. She will no longer be called a mistress. Verse 6, next verse, please. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand, talking to Babylon, but, you might say, thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. You taxed them, you worked them, you beat them. You overdid it. And God's jealous. Verse 7, and thou saidest, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. In other words, you did not do as you were requested. You know, the great song of Moses keeps applying to this. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 29. Vengeance belongs to our Father. Their rock is not our rock. And that vengeance, that day is going to come when He will unleash it. And boy, will they get their just rewards. Verse 8. Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. That's Revelation chapter 18, verse 8. Okay. I have said a queen. You know, and the sad part is she really believes this. And you can kind of see why it is written in the 17th chapter that the whole world whores after this one. It's so delicate, so ladylike, so appeasing, so wonderful, so fulfilling. And the false Messiah all the time, yes, I have come to deliver the world. My name is Christ. Only He's Antichrist. That's who He claims to be, is Christ. Pays off all the debts. Or you think the people won't be happy about that are unlearned in God's Word? Of course they will be. And they'll join the club. To their own failing. Verse 9. But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day. The loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection. That means when they come to their full recourse. For the multitude of thy sorceries, false teaching, druggies, and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. That's what's going to happen to you. You're going to lose it all. The very things you say won't happen, both of them are going to come to pass. It won't be in 2 days. It won't be in three. It'll be in one day. And it will be the day that our Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth. Not Cyrus, which was a type, but the true Messiah at the second advent. Verse 10. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted thee. And thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. We be God, and God is with us, and we control the whole world. Well, unfortunately, some people are just dumb enough to allow it to happen and go along with it. But those that truly serve the living God shall stand against the spurious Messiah, exactly as it is written in Mark chapter 13, and be a witness against that falsehood. And then will come the true deliverer. Their calamity will happen in that day. And God's election have a little part in seeing to it. Verse 11. Therefore shall evil come upon thee. Thou shalt not know from whence it riseth. And mischief shall fall upon thee. Thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. In other words, from which it riseth is like the sun rising, meaning you don't know what day it's going to happen, but it's going to. It's going to catch you by surprise. You think there's no end to your playing around, to your deceiving people, to the false Christ. But it is going to end, and it will end in one day. You will be bereaved of children and your way all at one time. Ruin will come upon you. And you don't even know what day the sun comes up that it's going to happen. Fortunately, God's election do. Do you know what time it's going to happen? You should. You're going to know in advance. The very day that the two witnesses die in the streets of Jerusalem, 3 days later, it's going to happen. You can count on it. You know. Well, how do I know? It's written. And it will come to pass exactly as it's written in Revelation chapter 11. Verse 12 to continue. Stand now with thine enchantments, and with the multitude of thy sorceries, wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. It's not a new thing. If so be thou shalt be able to profit, if so be thou mayest prevail. If you think your little idols are going to save you, have to it. Pray to them. If you think you can prevail, stick with it. It's going to happen in one day. They're going to bite the bullet. They're going down. Well, how can you be so sure? Because it's written. That's what you're reading right now. God's telling you exactly how it's going to come to pass. Even in the future sense, they persist, and fear shall come upon them. The demon hordes shall not be able to save them. The wickedness of the world shall not prevail. It's going to be, we're going to clean house in one day. Verse 13. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Oh, you've got hundreds of advice givers. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. You just practice your little old magic and stargazing and see what happens to you. At the same time, I want to hasten to add, God gave us the stars, the sun, the moon for signs and seasons. Seasons for planting, season for dates, and so forth. Useful, but not to start a religion out of them. They're simply tools that our Father gives us to live with and by, and just exactly as he stated, for signs and seasons, for planting and so forth. But these people make religions out of everything that moves, except Almighty God. They haul them around by the van loads, and they can't move and they can't help them. Our Father can help. Our Father does help. Our Father does bless. And He carries us from the womb all the way to the grave and then on. He always carries us. Why? Well, it's His promise. He promised it. And He does it. That's why we're always successful and blessed, because of the hand of God. Verse 14, behold, they shall be as stubble. the fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. What that means in the Hebrew manuscripts is, it's not the kind of fire you would want to sit before to warm your toes. Okay. It's going to be a heat that will blot out, that will destroy like stubble, will absolutely annihilate. Our Father is a consuming fire. And He's warning you beforehand, when He's ready to destroy them, it's certainly not going to be a fire that you would want to sit and warm by. It is the lake of fire, and it consumes, because God is a consuming fire to the wickedness of this world. Hey, it's going to happen. Well, as many might say, well, that sounds kind of gross. No, that's cleansing, very cleansing. It is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit always warms those that love Him and takes care of those that do not. That's the way our Father operates. That's the way our Father is, and we thank Him for that. The Holy Spirit is always a fire, a warmth that we can feel, that touches us, and we enjoy it. But to some, it will not be so on that particular day, that one day when this comes to pass. 15. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter. None shall save thee. In other words, as it is written in Revelation chapter 18, verse 11, they have nothing in their arsenal that will save them, because they don't have God. If you don't have the Father, you are one lost, miserable individual. You may have made yourself religions that tickle your fancy and your toes, but it won't save you. It won't save you from the heat. It won't save you from the way. And our Father makes that very clear. You know, that is a beautiful chapter. And common sense should always prevail. God, what has He said? Why would you want to build all this junk that can't stand on its own? You got to nail it there and pray to it. It can't help you. It's worthless. It won't do you any good. Or you could love Me, who I will carry you and bless you from the womb to the gray hairs. What would common sense say? Go with God. It's that simple. Why? Because receive the blessings instead of the cursings, instead of the sorcerism. A sorcerer is one that uses drugs and other things to reach a high, when the Holy Spirit is there all the time to touch, to lead, and God to hold you, to lead you, to bless you, whereby you are successful in what you do. That's our Heavenly Father, and how He does love His own. Chapter 48, verse 1, we'll go a verse or two into this. Hear ye this, O house of Jacob, that's the natural seed, which are called by the name of Israel. Why? Because he fought with God, and he's the prince that prevailed, which is what Israel means. And are come forth out of the waters of Judah, that's to say the peoples of Judah, which swear by the name of the Lord. They love Him. And make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth, nor in righteousness. They really don't mean what they say sometimes. And this is where you get some of those factions that steep themselves in traditions, even though they claim to be followers of God. They lose their way. Verse 2, for they call themselves of the holy city, and stay themselves upon the God of Israel. They depend on him. The Lord of hosts is his name. And that's what they claim. Verse 3, I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth, and I showed them, and I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. What God is saying, I can predict the future. I'm the beginning and the end. I know exactly how it's going down. You don't, but if I say a thing, you can count on it. That's exactly how it's going to come to pass. You know something? It always has. There's nothing new under the sun. It always transpires as our Father so illustrates and so kindly lets us know in advance. This whole thing of Cyrus 137 years before the fact is to document this. That when he says a thing is going to come to pass, it will. Because how ridiculous it would be for some of Israel to say, he's going to pick a little Gentile boy over here and name him Cyrus, and he's going to free us from Babylon and rebuild Jerusalem. That can't happen. Well, it did. Do you know why it did? Because God said it would. It is written, and it is history at this time. But when he declared it, it was 137 years before the fact. What does that mean to you? If God speaks, it's good for you to listen. And not only to listen, to absorb what he says. Because with him, time means nothing. Look at the ancient, and yet look at the future. He's the beginning and the end. And hey, we're not in this just for a day or two. We're in this for the eternity. Don't you ever forget it. Listen to your Father when he speaks. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves and you have a question, share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular individual, reverend, or denomination. Let's don't judge people. Teach God's Word and God is judge. He can handle that real nice. He always has, he always does. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you. Your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Again, always a pleasure. Now, you got a prayer request, you don't need the number, you don't need an address. Talk to him, talk to your Father. He hears you, he knows you, he loves you. May not love what you're doing, but he does love you. You return that love and be blessed. He will carry you from the womb to the gray hairs. If you love him and let him know you want to follow him. Just as he said in that 43rd chapter, hey, remind me of the promises I've made and let's talk about it. Do that. He meant it. Why? Because he loves you. Father, around the globe we come, we ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Anita from Florida. Since living here since living here, I have battled some depression, and my question is, can there be forces outside of the house that affect, oppress, since we are living near such disregard of the greatness of the true Almighty? Another religion cannot influence spiritually. If you're strong, if you've anointed your quarters, it doesn't matter that these people even own it. If you've anointed it in the name of Jesus Christ and ordered anything negative away from that, God takes care of you. Okay, you can trust that. You can count on Him. Okay, and it doesn't matter what they believe. All you can do is follow the Word of God as you know it. Okay. And you'll do well. You'll do well. Sandra from Georgia. To the point, I want to know if a woman has to wear long dresses and long hair to be a light for Jesus. I know what the Bible says, and I've studied different people's opinion. I want to know yours. Well, let's talk about it a moment. In Deuteronomy 22 and 23, when it says that a woman should not wear men's clothing, what did men wear? Men wore skirts. Okay. Men did not wear trousers. So, if we were to say that, then we would say that women should not wear skirts, that it would be against God's law. But that's not what it's talking about at all. What it has reference to is that a woman should never take a man's part sexually with another woman. That's what it's talking about. And vice versa. Has nothing to do with clothing. And one should always dress in moderation. What is appealing to that person? Different people wear different things. It is not what we wear, it's what's in the heart. It's what's in the eye that reflects the soul, that plants the seed of following the Lord Jesus Christ. So, again, let's take the hair business, that a woman shouldn't cut her hair. And really, that again is a poor scholarship on most people's part, because they take this from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And the word hair is not even in the manuscripts. It's veil. And it means that a woman should have Christ over her head. Why? Well, the 10th verse tells you in the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, because of the angels. They are returning. Jesus said they would in Matthew 24, and it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. They're going to be giving and taking in marriage to women. And a woman needs to have the true Christ over her head, whereby she is not bothered with the Nephilim, the fallen angels. That's what it means. Tony from Indiana. Do the people on the wrong side of the Gulf get another chance to get on the right side? They would not have an opportunity to get on the right side, because they will depart the paradise and move into the millennium. And during the millennium, if they had no opportunity, and a lot of people don't, because why? Well, because of what's taught. With what's taught about you're going to fly away, you don't have to know God's word, they don't have a prayer of a chance of not being deceived by the false Christ, because they're not taught. Therefore, God loves His children, and they will have an opportunity to learn the truth. That's not a second chance. That's a first chance. And they will move from that immediately, as it is written in Revelation 20, into the second resurrection. All right? I've been with my wife for over 28 years, and we are loved stronger. Well, that's good. You're blessed. Okay, so count on that. You are. Sandy from Arkansas. Were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego changed into a spiritual body when they were cast into the fiery furnace? No. No, that would not have been a miracle if they were changed into spiritual bodies. When they came out of there, they were still in flesh bodies. And they were still in flesh bodies when they were in the fiery furnace. However, who was protecting them? who was walking with them. There is no great thing for God through the Son to envelop those children from the heat and protect them. Why? Because there wasn't even a hair on their head singed. They were totally, completely protected. God is able to do that. And what does this signify? It signifies that when God's wrath comes at the end of this world, you don't have to think you got to be flying away somewhere. Why? Because you can be walking right in the middle of it and there won't be a hair singed on your head. Why? Because God's not angry at us. God loves his children, and God can take care of his children and carry for them from the womb to gray hair, whether they're in a furnace, that is to say, as that example was set forth, or wherever. God will take care of his own. Naturally, always use common sense. Okay, Christine from Kentucky. Let me see what I've got here. I am a 23-year-old married mother of two. Since I was 9, I have led a full life of all sin. Okay. To get off drugs, I went to rehab. A treatment of the rehab was another narcotic to fight cravings. Can I still be saved, or is it faithless and a sin? I love and praise the Lord every day, and I try to overcome my rage and anger of how people betray my family and I, but sometimes it overcomes me and I get angry and curse and feel awful. As long as I don't give up, can I still be saved, or is God disappointed? If my time came now, do you think these actions would condemn me regardless of loving life and the Lord and people and trying? No, you always repent. It is a natural thing that God placed temper and temperament in our bodies. Okay, it's a very natural thing. Our Father fills with righteous indignation at times. Okay, so I do not know what the problem is, but let's call it righteous indignation. Repent. Let the Father know that you need His help. He said even if it's 490 times. That he forgives, that we have to forgive when you have a change of heart and mind. So you hang tough. You're doing good, and I'm real proud of you. If the rehab is helping you, by all means, you stick with it, okay, as it is necessary. But look forward to the time when, as a child of God, a daughter of all the living God, you can say, I can cut it on my own, okay, and do it, because you will. Linda from California. Have you ever heard of the 3 days of darkness? I was told it would be a terrifying 3 days with no light whatsoever, and not even a candle would burn unless it is a specific candle from a certain religion. I think I'm going to stop there because I'm not familiar with this, and I only know one thing. It's not biblical. Okay, no, there are not. As a matter of fact, the light is coming, and we are children of light, and it doesn't matter how dark it gets. Our light will always reflect off of the true light, which is to say Jesus Christ. And so I don't know who's putting out the 3 days of darkness, but not true, okay? Won't happen. And Winford from Kentucky. Winford, I don't like to pass judgment on other people's teachings. I am familiar with both men that you and respect them, certainly. And they both were good scholars, as far as I'm concerned, period. And I'll say no more about it, okay? William from... I'm not in the business of judging people's works, okay? I teach God's Word as it is written, and I do recommend Dr. Bullinger's work. Why? Because he was one of the greatest Christian scholars that ever walked this earth in flesh, okay? aside from not even comparing with Jesus Christ, of course, and the apostles. But he was a great scholar, an humble scholar, and I do respect him. There's been many good scholars in this world. Scholars are people that take God's word and work with it chapter by chapter and verse by verse without trying to change anything or mislead anyone or build any little kingdom of their own or something of that nature. And that way God always blesses them. But I will never judge another man's work. That's God's business. William from Kentucky. My question is in Jude 1, verse 9, Michael the archangel argued with Satan about the body of Moses. What about the body were they arguing about? Well, it was what Moses stood for. Okay. Remember how Moses was buried. That's what this is all about. You'll read of it in the last chapter of the great book of Deuteronomy, when Moses died on Mount Nebo. God would not let someone else bury him. And many of you know what my opinion is. God took him. God transfigured him. Well, how can you say that, brother? Well, because he showed back up again on the Mount of Transfiguration. Duh. Okay, I mean, that's not really a very... it doesn't take much of a stretch of the imagination to know. And what was Moses? Moses was the lawgiver. And oh, how Satan hates the law and everything that Moses stands for. And because he was transfigured, that's why Satan wants to belittle, besmirch, do anything that he can to fight against the law. It's not going to happen. God takes care of his own, and with God's help, will take care of Satan, the Antichrist, okay? Missy from Arkansas. I have a dear friend whose nephew was shot and killed. I know she is hurting inside. I don't know what to say to her except I am sorry for her loss. She is always at church praising the Lord. I get strength from her instead of her getting strength from me. What can I do? If anything, to show my friendship to her. She has so much peace about her and faith in the Lord. I value your opinion very much. Thank you. Well, it would seem that your friend is really situated in the Word of God, and she knows that to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. She knows where her nephew is, and she knows he is with the Lord, and she's at peace with it. And if you were to say anything at all, tell her you love her, and you understand that her very faith in Almighty God strengthens you. It would please her, okay? And that's all that's necessary, because it's obvious she has it under control. Missy, you're doing good. Jan from Texas. When Cain was born, was he normal or a hybrid? Was Satan not like the fallen angels? He was a hybrid. It was against nature, and that makes it a hybrid. Anytime something goes against nature, it is so. Jesus taught this. He taught it in St. John chapter 8, beginning with verse 44. He says, speaking of Cain, who was the first murderer, and of his father the devil, and the deeds of his father he would do. So there's no great mystery in that. And many would say the next question that would follow, well, why wasn't he a giver? Well, because he was quite large, but intermarriage down through generation to generation, the size has grown smaller and smaller and smaller. Nadine from Oklahoma, question. Well, here's another Cain question. Was Cain the first Nephilim, as his father was a fallen angel? He was a hybrid, okay. Could the mark after refer to this? Thank you so much for the teaching. The mark of Cain is spiritual as well. That's how you discern. You can, if you are gifted with spiritual discernment, you can always tell by the Spirit. Okay. And what are we to do about it anyway? Leave the tares alone. God will harvest them when the time is right. Because any time you start messing with the tares, you'll tear up some wheat. And we're here to save as much of the wheat as we can. Okay. God knows what he's doing, so just do it God's way. Well, where are you quoting from? Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the tares. That's the Kenites. Jason from Wisconsin. Arnold Murray, can the devil really possess people like you see in the movies? And also, can spirits haunt houses? Well, I don't want to say the movies always over-exaggerate and use a bunch of nonsense and about everything, but the evil spirits can certainly possess man. Don't ever think for a moment it can't. There's not one behind every bush, but a person that is possessed is a person that is unhappy indeed and ill indeed. Not ill with sickness, but with possession. It is not a pretty thing. But Christ gave us power over all of our enemies, including the evil spirits. And so there's nothing to worry about. All you have to do is use the oil of our people and in the name of Jesus Christ order anything negative out of your house, your home, or somebody. But you kind of want to know what you're doing if it is an evil spirit. Or you can, if you don't know where to tell it where to go, you're in trouble because it may jump on you, okay, or go into someone else. You got to know what you're doing. Send it back where it came from. That's death to it, and they don't like that, and they're afraid of people that send them back where they came from. Karen from Kentucky, I have a question about tithing. I know it means a tenth. Does it always mean giving money? Can it mean giving of other things, such as to the poor and the needy, studying God's word and praying? Would you please explain Malachi chapter 2, verses 1 through 4? I know God doesn't send burdens or curses on anyone, and I'm kind of not clear on what this means. Well, it's about false preachers, about preachers that lie to people. God said he doesn't send them burdens or curses. They bring them on themselves. Okay, it's a terrible, terrible thing. You tithe where you're fed. Okay, and if you want to help the poor, that's a love offering. Okay, as Malachi declares. All right, but you tithe where you're fed because that keeps the food coming. All right, that's being the whole purpose. Mitch from Tennessee. My name is Mitch and I'm 11 years old. Is the psychics that help police solve crime, are they evil people? And are the national ID cards part of the mark? My parents watch with me. Thank you. And Uncle Murray, well, you're all right, and you're a good nephew. You're studying anyway. This nephew by adoption, I will hasten to add. Mitch, I'm going to tell you that you can't judge one whole group of people as one. Okay. There are people who really have unction. Where does it come from? Perhaps from the Father. And there's some fakes. Okay. And I'm not going to judge, and you shouldn't either, which are and which aren't. I would not be anxious to call anyone evil people. They probably are perhaps even trying and mean well, but just a little bit wavy, all right? But so the ID cards, no. The mark is certainly in the forehead. It's not in your wallet. It's not in your pocket. It's not on some sign. It's what you have in your mind. If you believe that the false Christ is the real Christ, you've already got the mark of the beast. If you believe that you're going to fly away and you'll never have to stand before the Antichrist, you probably already have the mark in your mind because you're going to flit. You're going to fly away, in other words. Why? Because you've been told you don't have to understand God's word. You're not going to be here. That's a lie. And it's a very bad one. And God said, in 2 Thessalonians concerning the return of Christ, he said, hey, if you want to believe that lie, I'll send you stronger delusion than that. There is no way that you're going to gather back to Christ until after the son of perdition, Satan, stands in Jerusalem claiming to be God. It's going to happen. And you don't want to ever let anyone teach you different. Lois from Georgia, I asked this before concerning the sixth and the eighth day man, but it did not get an answer, so I will try again. I am using Green's Interlinear for the Hebrew. Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. Genesis 1:27, he created Eth Ha Adam in his image. Why? Because when God's image was created, it was Christ. So Eth Ha Adam concerning Christ is utilized there. But not until the eighth day man otherwise, okay? Because in God's image, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. That's Eth Ha'adam, and that's what Eth Ha'adam was even brought into being. And I'm out of time, way out of time. I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word. Stay in His Word every day, and it's a good day even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed.